All of us dressed like golfers today. Paul Zeiss across from me. Bob Pompeiani across from me.
I can't believe that you said negative things about Eddie Money.
About who?
Eddie Money.
Oh, is that this guy?
Yes.
He sucks.
He sucks. In the 80s, as a child of the 80s, Eddie Money was like one of the coolest. He was one of the coolest guys that, you know, we all wanted to be Eddie Money.
Bob, did your mic work there? Say something.
It's on.
There you go. Okay.
I didn't.
I'm just checking. I'm not accusing you of
it. Yes, you just did.
That reminds me of the thing that happened the other day, Paul.
What?
Paul and I were on a golf course, and there was a ball between us. And
oh, Talon's guy here, whatever.
Yeah, a kid drives up, and I said, "What ball are you playing?" He said, "Taylor." I said, "So am I." And then he drives right up to me and says, "Does it have shakas on it?" Like in a threatening way. "Does it have shakas on it?" And he puts the ball right in my face. And I was like, "No." He said, "I'm not." I said, "I'm not accusing you of anything." And the kid said, "It sounds like you are." And then luckily I had Paul next to me in the cart. It could have gotten ugly from there.
See, that's insane. That's terrible etiquette on behalf of that person. Should have been thrown off the golf course.
Yeah, yeah. He's just one of these guys, one of these little snot nose. You know how they are.
I mean, okay.
He was a punk. Without
the punk, the little punk, the snot nose. He'll learn. He'll grow up and mature. Right now, he's the coolest.
Unfortunately, there are a lot right of those kind of people around.
Yeah, right now he's the self-appointed coolest man on the planet. And
did you even realize what was happening?
No,
I wanted you to threaten him.
I really didn't. I kind of missed the whole thing.
Yeah, I know, but you were next to me in the cart, which is amazing that you missed the whole thing.
I did. I was texting somebody about there was something going on.
Part of me was like, "Paul, jump in here," because I think Paul would have intimidated them.
I just kind of periphery, sort of heard it on the periphery, but I wasn't really paying attention until I was like, "Was that guy trying to get smart with you?" You know, like, I was like, "Was that guy trying to get smart with you or something?" Yes.
There could have been a fight, Bob. You ever been in a fight on the golf course?
No, but I see more of them. That's the last place I would expect fights. And yet, it's happening. It's ridiculous.
Closest I ever came to a fight on a golf course, right, is there's these punks playing in front of us, right? And so, they just were, like, jacking around, playing slow. All that other stuff, right? So finally, I kind of said, you know, I drove up to them on the fairway. I said, "Dudes, I mean, come on, it's ridiculous." Like, you know, they were young punks. They were probably like 19, 20, 21 years old, jagging around. It's like, listen, you're holding up the whole golf course. The last green I saw you, you know, they did the thing where they put the putter into the green, that kind of crap. Okay.
What do you mean? Slam the putter into
the putter into the green, and they left them. They made it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, on the very next hole, dude hits a ball and doesn't yell four, and it comes sailing my way. You know what I mean? And it kind of bounces.
That's dangerous. If
yeah, it kind of bounces.
You, right?
You know, sort of near the tee box. So I emptied my bag with balls and started firing them off my driver at him. Just kept firing at him.
You didn't say four either.
I didn't say no. I made it very clear that I was. And so as they're driving up the fairway, I'm aiming at him. You know what I mean? Trying to hit. I there was like 20 golf balls laying on the fairway. That was the closest. You know what I mean? That was. You know what? It was effective because they sped up and they got out of there. By the time I got down to the parking lot, after they
see now this supports my argument about the wasted management golf tournament. This is why I don't want to see more of that, because it leads to this kind of crap. And you have to deal with it, Joe. You had a guy put a golf ball in your face because he probably watched the wasted management golf. And
don't
he saw,
blame that
yeah, it starts. It's like iPhones. Everyone wants to be a hero. Narcissistic behaviors rewarded left and right. This is what happens. And then they have.
Get off my lawn!
Exactly. Seriously, this is the kind of stuff that I want to prevent from the glorious game of golf.
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, well, come on.
But I don't think it's the fans at the Waste Management Open.
It sends the bad. I'm telling you.
That kid was just a punk.
Okay. You don't have to be a punk when you're on the golf course, unless you want to be a punk.
I'm just saying
that kid.
Is this
thing new? Is that screen new that we can watch ourselves?
Yeah, I don't want to watch that.
I don't want to see myself.
It's so we can see the guest.
Oh.
Like whenever we have, you know, Cabali or somebody on it, so you can see.
Yeah, but
see
how about if you're calling on a cell phone?
Well, now they have people calling on the video line.
I know.
They call. You're right. They call on the video. Look, Bob, there you are, dressed in green.
No. It's too early in the day to be seen like
that. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think that is actually up to, like, if you go on a video feed, you've just, like, pulled it up right now on your computer, it's probably, like, 10 seconds or 20 seconds behind. Mm-hmm. But I think that is actually a live feed, like a live feed.
So we can see, yeah.
So we can see it, you know what I mean?
All right. Well, let's get to the business at hand here, and there's lots of it. Let's start. Everybody doing well then, I assume? None of us seems to be in a bad space today.
It's wonderful. It's a beautiful day. You got to enjoy them all, man.
Paul seems happy. Nelly, everything okay? Nelly gave me the thumbs up.
All is well.
That doesn't work on the radio, but all is well does. Yes, I'm glad to hear it. The Steelers draft. And I'm going to say this right off the top here. Paul wrote about it. I know with that it's somewhat, you know, of a folly to analyze a draft right after it happens. It is. But I'm going to tell you that this was my favorite Steeler draft that I can remember. And it started with the first pick. I think I was an easy guy to please this year because they had so many different needs. I remember Paul and I talking last week, just take the best guy. You know, unless it's a quarterback or obviously a running back. Take the best guy on your board. It's bad to have so many needs, but it's good in a way because you can't go wrong, right? Just take the best guy. And then to get Zach Frazier from the Fighting Adam Crowleys, and then to get Roman Wilson, who's a guy that I watched, so I'm probably biased toward him. I love that guy. And then to get Peyton Wilson, the Bednarik winner. Turn on some tape of this guy because he was hurt 3 years ago and maybe 5 and 7 years. I don't care because he doesn't have an ACL in his knee. Neither did Greg Lloyd or Hines Ward or DeJuan Blair when he played at Pitt or a bunch of people. I don't care about that. This dude played 23 games the last 2 years. He might have been the best linebacker in this draft. I cannot believe that they got him. Other guys have dropped like that. Willis McGahee missed a whole year. Remember that?
Yeah.
After that knee injury, Thurman Thomas dropped in the draft. There's so many. All I know is for the last 2 years, this guy's been healthy and not good, but great. I cannot believe they got him. So, Paul, you know, as ridiculous as it might seem to grade a draft right after a draft, I'm telling you that this is my favorite one that the Steelers have had that I can remember. Maybe since they got Ben, just for the fact they got Ben.
Well, I like the most. The thing I like the most about this draft is they got a bunch of guys that seem like they all got a little bit of a nasty edge to them. And I think that is sort of, you know, the Steelers need a little bit of that. They needed to get back to a little bit of that, just sort of the nastiness, the physicality, the mentality of, and I think when you hire Arthur Smith as your offensive coordinator, that's what you're saying. This is how we want to play football. You know, the first round pick, I've watched plenty of video clips of him, and every single one of them, he's looking to really inflict pain on somebody. He doesn't just want to block somebody. He wants to hit the hell out of them. Zach Frazier, I've seen more clips of him with blood coming out of his nose or on his uniform, or you know what I mean? The one where he's crawling off the field with a broken leg because he doesn't want to give a 10-second runoff off. Tough guy, you know? The receiver from Michigan, I saw a clip of him. I think it was after the national championship game, where he basically said, you know, the most of the teams, they all want to, you know, have Louis Vuitton bags and this and that, and but they all want to be pretty and fancy. And I don't know that I see a whole lot of people that want to play football the way we play it here. He's like, we all want to hit somebody. And then, of course, as you said, Peyton Wilson. I mean, to me, they got a bunch of guys who I don't know if they can play a lick, but I do know this. They're going to go out and they're going to have an edge, and they're going to probably give the Steelers a little bit of an edge. They're probably going to be the type of guys that stir things up a little bit in training camp, right? And I think that's what the Steelers need. More than anything else, the Steelers, and I hate to say it this way, but they've become like this soft team that nobody cares about, that nobody even worries about or takes seriously anymore. I think you add some guys like this, You know, you still have T.J. Watt. You've got it. Now, all of a sudden, you're starting to put together a group again of guys who want to go out in the field and be ass kickers. And I think that's what you need.
Yeah, I think same thing, especially with the Ravens bringing in Derrick Henry. They pound the ball anyway. They want to pound the ball even more. That's going to be a violent rivalry. It's always been one. It's going to be more violent, I think, now with these kind of guys. But when you have a couple of new quarterbacks, two of the guys who were sacked more than any quarterback in the game the last 2 years, you want to give them more protection to number one, to have time down the field when you're looking down the field so you don't always have to take off. But number two, so that run game, which they do, and they're not shying about saying this, they want to have a very good run game. That's how you shorten games. That's how you set up third and short, second and short, whatever, and you have options. And I think that's what their philosophy is. So from that point of view, yeah, they did a very good job. I'm concerned a little bit about Peyton Wilson only because so many teams passed on him. And I realize they brought him in and did their own medicals, but you're always concerned with people who have injuries in the past. And
well, that's why they got him.
I know. I can only assume that all these teams that didn't want him, you know, kind of went back on that. And I hope they're going to look back and say that that was a mistake because the guy is a football lover. He fits exactly what you need, especially from an inside linebacker. And if you have him healthy, along with Patrick Queen and Landon Roberts, and down the road, Holcomb, whenever he's ready, that's a pretty good inside linebacking, probably the best since Shazier's injury.
Maybe even before that. I think it has a potential. He has better athleticism at the inside linebacker spot, I think, maybe in the whole Tomlin tenure. Obviously, Shazier was a premier athlete. I get it, but I'm talking both guys together. Yeah. And this Peyton Wilson, Bob, that's why he was available. All I know is he ran what'd he run?
4.43. And Shazier had a 4.39.
I mean, that's insane.
For an inside linebacker.
So
with no ACL.
Hasn't affected his speed.
No.
And he just played 23 straight games against pretty high-level college competition and killed people.
Yeah.
So whatever injuries he's had, yes, it's clearly a concern. It is. But it hasn't affected him.
No, he fills up the stat sheet every time he's out.
And I'll give you one more little nugget. Greg Gattuso, who coaches at Albany,
yeah,
right? They lost in the semifinal this year to South Dakota State, who won it all.
Mason McCormick. Yeah.
And he texted me and said, this dude that they got is a mauler. I have no doubt he's going to make the team. He's a mauler.
Well, he's going to make the team.
He's a tough
But he won't
SOB.
Play a lot this year.
Yeah.
What he will do is give them insurance when James Daniels is not offered another contract, if that's the way they want to go. Because they have guys who have expiration on contracts. So he gives you the support you need without you waiting until next year to get it.
But basically he was saying that the guy
is – Well, the video is insane.
The guy is a mauler, and the Steelers got a good one, a really good one.
Well, here's the thing, too, is that Andy Weidel and Omar Khan have put their stamp on these drafts because when you actually look at what was going on before those two got into their current roles here, it was kind of ugly. The 22 draft right now looks like a disaster. They drafted their quarterback of the future, and he's not even here anymore. Pickens was a really good pick, it looks like. Leal, Austin, Hayward, Robinson, Oladokun. What did they get? They got one guy, and they missed on their quarterback. The 21 draft was the Najee Freiermuth draft. It was okay. I think they probably got the wrong positions with that draft. 20, they got Highsmith, but other than that, nobody's left. 19, nobody's left from their 19 draft. It's 2024. You're supposed to have guys going on their second deals.
Right.
2018 was Edmonds, Washington, Rudolph, and Chooks. And then we know 16 was a disaster. I mean, the one was really good. With T.J. Watt, Juju, Sutton, Connor. That was a really good draft. But, man, the Steelers had really started to fall off on their drafts. And the reason that Khan and Weidel have earned the benefit of the doubt this year is because the imprint they put on last year. And Tomlin, you know, deserves credit too, although he was part of those drafts that were starting to just slide downhill. I can't help but think that Andy Weidel specifically, Bob, has had a transformative effect maybe on their drafting because it wasn't good and it was borderline disastrous. And last year was a great draft And I think this year's might be too.
If you take Alex Highsmith out of 2020, basically 2019 and 2020 are just a complete waste.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, they at least they turned Claypool into a pick, right? They turned him into Joey Porter. But yeah.
Well, Dotson looks like it was probably a good pick, and they just didn't get the right stuff out of him for whatever reason. He goes to another place, and he was outstanding. But yeah, I think, you know, when you look at it, this is meat and potatoes, baby. And Andy Weidel, when he was in Philadelphia, made sure they had some of the best people in both the offensive and defensive line. So his effect on this is very obvious, I think. But they've come to a conclusion that that's what they need to do to be successful. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't care how football changes. I don't care what people say about, yeah, it is a very offensive game. You have to score points, especially in the red zone. But the fundamentals of it remain the same. If you can do better on both the offensive and defensive line and win those battles, chances are you're going to have pretty good success in other battles, I think.
Who was your favorite pick? Mine's Peyton Wilson. Easily Peyton Wilson. It's unbelievable that they may have gotten the best linebacker in this season. It's not, there's nothing other than this long injury history from way in the past. The guy's 6'4", 233, and is a sprinter. Done. He's a sprinter.
Yeah.
And he kills people.
And he's mean.
And he won the Bednarik Award. He's my favorite pick at 98.
I think I like the other one. The other Wilson I like, really like, the receiver, Roman Wilson.
What, Nelly?
What? What just happened?
I don't know. They lead the league in Wilsons right now.
Yes.
Do they?
Yeah. Wilson. But
Roman Wilson ran a 4.39, which means he's a speedy guy.
He's very clutch. But he doesn't drop anything.
Yeah, he's got great hands, but I like the you know, a little bit of Hines Ward in him where he wants to go hit somebody. Well, he's small, so.
But in one of the interviews I saw, his thing was, philosophy at Michigan: no block, no rock. Meaning, if I don't block, I ain't getting the ball.
Right.
And he was J.J. McCarthy's really go-to guy whenever J.J. McCarthy got in trouble.
And then there's the first-round pick. I'm going to call him Fatano. You like that, Bob? Is that the right pronunciation? What do you?
You actually
can
make it foo, you know, latter-day Chris Fuamatu-Maafala. And when you say foo, you know who you're talking about.
Fatano?
It could be Fautanu.
It's Fautanu.
Fautanu.
Technically. Fautano will do.
Fautanu.
He's not going to argue.
Fautanu, yeah.
I thought there was an O at the end.
Fautanu.
Yes, Fautanu. I heard Missy Matthews the other day talking about it. It's a U, but it's pronounced as an O.
Fautanu.
Is it?
Yes.
Did you look on that thing where you can get the pronunciation?
I trust Missy Matthews.
Well, I do too, but I'm just wondering. when I saw U, I don't see O.
Well, I know you don't see O, but it's pronounced as an O, Bob.
How do you know?
Should I say it for the third time, Nelly?
You're the savvy old news hound. I would expect that you had dug into this.
What
all
did
due respect
say?
To Missy. Missy knows what she's doing, but I'm just.
Of course.
I want to hear it from him, I guess.
Did he say it the other day?
I don't know what he said.
I'm going to call him Fa.
If you say Tano. Foo, you'll know what he's talking about.
Fatano. Fatano.
Foo with a great block on the outside. He pancaked that guy.
Anyway, I thought when they first took him, they might have been taking their next center because I kept reading how this guy it translates to the inside and could play center. Did he play center in the past or guard or something?
He's played every position apparently at one point, limitedly at some, but I mean he's mostly what he is.
Okay, so where is this guy going to play this year? Is he going to start this year? Is more the it seems obvious it's going to be right tackle, right? And they're going to move Jones back to the left.
I would think that makes sense.
Is he going to start the first game, Paul?
Yes,
he should.
I think
he
absolutely.
And Frazier both.
I think they're both. I think both of those guys will start the first game.
Well, you know with. Jones and Porter last year. That's why I ask bringing guys along a little slowly. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, but I agree with that, but it wouldn't make a lot of sense to me to not start those two unless they're just not really, really not ready.
I know. It didn't make sense last year to me either.
Yeah, well, last year you could make the case that the first 2 weeks of the season they were playing two of the best edge rushers. You know, they're two of the best edge rushers in the league, and they didn't want them to be quite that exposed that soon. So that's all I would tell you there. You know what I mean? But I think this year it would make sense to put in Frazier, put him from the start, let him be the center from the start.
And we all like the pick. We like the fact they went offensive line, that they went tackle, other guys.
Everything
on the board.
Fell to them with all these quarterbacks being taken. Yeah, they had a. I thought they're going to have a choice between Mims and him, but then Mims was scooped up by who was it? Cincinnati.
Did you think they were going to take Barton when it came to that pick?
No, I thought their need was more so tackle than that, just because Dan Moore's at if he doesn't play. This
they took
year,
a hell of a chance. I'll say that because what if Frazier's not there?
Well. Going into day two, both the JPJ guy out of Oregon and Frazier were both there. But there were teams above them that needed center help, too, and one of them went in a different direction. So then you knew they were going to get their pick of one of those two.
All right. Go ahead, Paul.
I think that I referred to it in the Post-Gazette as a meat and potatoes draft.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is what it was.
That's what it was.
It's not, you know, everybody was talking about all these big moves they were going to make, you know, maybe draft a quarterback, maybe go out and get a receiver, you know, all that stuff. And basically they just said, you know, we're going to just keep it as simple as possible here and get the fundamentals.